Gentlemen, it is good to see you. It is even better to be with you. So, hey, listen, really quick. So 2 weeks, I believe, is it 2 weeks from tonight? What's that? Oh, 1 week. Yeah, time flies. 1 week from tonight is the hub night at the Braves game and tailgate dinner. And I think we've still got about a half a dozen or so tickets left. And they're like $40 tickets, but we're selling them for just $25. And that'll also include ride over from the church parking lot at 5:30 if you're going to be a part of that, and also a tailgate dinner. So such a deal. But if you are planning on going, wanting to go, but haven't gotten your ticket yet, after we end right around 8, I'll go ahead and be back at the back table. I'll open up my laptop, make it easy if you want to go ahead and get your ticket there. We can do it that way. So, but on to more important things. We're going to jump into God's Word. Jeff's going to be teaching us from, if you want to turn there in your Bible, we're in Romans 7, the end of Romans 7, and we're going to pass through it and enter into Romans chapter 8. So let me read for us from Romans 7, starting with verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Let's pray. Lord, this is the essence of your good news, the essence of the gospel, the essence of what has changed us, the essence of your grace that we need, that we receive, that we desire, that we're desperate for, and that we also want to reflect. We want to reflect this good news to one another this morning as we bathe in your word, as we talk about your word, and then that we would be equipped to go and reflect this gospel, this good news of your grace to the world that you're going to send us into today. So we believe this is your call, and so we trust you to equip us for this. In Christ's name, amen.
Good to see you guys this morning. I just wanted to, I have a lot of y'all, thankfully it was very, very encouraging to know that you guys are praying for my dad. As you know, I was supposed to teach this last week and I had to head out to Tonto Verde, which is outside of Phoenix. My dad owns a home there that he goes to in the wintertime. And so a lot of guys are saying, hey, how's your dad? What happened? The nutshell is he went and ran 7 miles. He's 76 years old, went and ran 7 miles in the desert, and then he was feeling great, so he got his mountain bike, and he ended up riding like 35 miles in the desert, and then as he's coming home, he took a spill, and he has 7 fractures in his pelvis, and some are displaced, and my stepmother, who usually would take care of him in the situation, was in Minneapolis getting chemotherapy. And was sick, so nobody could really go take care of my dad. My sister was taking care of my stepmother, and so I needed to come out there and attend to him in that time. So, thanks for your prayers. You know, people are saying, "How's your dad doing?" He said he's not getting worse. So that's the last report I got from him. But That is good. That is good. So, you know, we're just going to see what happens. And my hope for him is a very active man, is that he's able to recover well enough to be able to get active again. But that's not a guaranteed at this point in time. But thanks for your prayers. I really appreciate it. I want to just jump straight into the text. And this is a fascinating text. It is a really, really important text for us to understand. And I want to kind of go back a little bit so that we can go forward. And you might remember a few weeks ago, Nate brought up this really beautiful illustration of a boxing match that we're in with sin. And he gave us some incredible hacks or strategies on how to combat sin. But I think as we reflect upon that talk, that it's important to remember that before Nate had brought that up, Paul talked about a paradigm shift that we go through as followers of Jesus. When we are born again, when we're filled with His Spirit, when we're regenerated in our inner man, we no longer, Paul says, that live according to the law, but we now serve in the way of the Spirit and not the way of the written code. And he says this in Romans 7 and 6, dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve, how? In the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So our relationship with God is no longer mediated by the law. Isn't that good news? If it was, we'd be surely out of luck. But since we're not surely out of luck and we have Christ, we're no longer judged by our performance under the law, but rather by Christ's performance on the cross. Praise be to God. Amen. And if we have faith in Christ, you and I, in this moment, in the chair you're sitting in, with the food that you're eating and the coffee that you're drinking and the men that you're sitting next to, you and I will be no more righteous in God's sight than we ever possibly could be, because our righteousness is a gift, pure and simple, full stop. Isn't that wonderful? But you might be saying at this point in time, well, that's good, I'm grateful for this, that I serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the way of the old written code, but why do I feel like I'm struggling? I mean, don't I have the Holy Spirit living in me? Is He who is in me greater than He who is in the world? Then why do I feel like I'm failing? Well, guess what, man? Maybe this would comfort you. It comforts me. The Apostle Paul experienced this too. Notice how he's speaking about himself in this passage? Well, let me just say he's speaking about all of us as well. Paul, when he writes the book of Romans, you have to remember, he's not some fresh out of the birth canal Christian. He's been walking with the Lord for 20 to 25 years, and in about 7 to 10 years, he's going to be martyred for his faith. He's a mature believer in Jesus Christ. So he's not measuring his maturity by whether or not he's struggling with sin or winning the victory or falling on the mat. He's measuring himself according to his faith with Christ. Yet he confesses, what I do is not the good that I want to do in verse 19. So what's going on here? Friends, our standing before God forever has changed. But the reality of our daily life is that you and I are going to experience the struggle with sin. We've been released from the law, and the text says in Romans 7, we've been given to another. We're now married to Jesus Christ. But friends, you and I, this is where we get messed up. We still measure ourselves by our ability to keep God's law instead of according to Christ's sacrifice. And it puts us in a tailspin oftentimes. And it makes us wonder, are we really Christians? But our performance, friends, it doesn't define us. What defines us is Christ and what He has done. Here's the objective reality that Romans 7 teaches. We are released from the law. We are living by the Spirit. And in Romans 8 and 1 tells us we are no longer now, in this moment, in this place, no matter what you're thinking, good or bad, there is now no condemnation for you and for me in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. Can you hang on to that? Why is it such a struggle to hold on to that truth? It is the quintessential battle that you and I go through every day to define ourselves according to Christ rather than our performance. Here's what Paul says is lived. This is the objective reality, released from the law, living in the Spirit, no condemnation. But what's Paul's experience? Feeling the pull of sin, hearing the accusation of God's law, and experiencing failure. That's the Apostle Paul. That is the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And that should give us hope today. Because you and I, as we struggle in this life with our flesh, with our sinful nature, you're just living the normal Christian life. If you're not struggling with it, if you think you've gotten beyond it, you might want to check your heart and see if you're truly born of God's Spirit. See, Paul's not contradicting himself. It's not contradicting himself. He's describing what it means to live in this constant tension between what is already true of you and me in Christ Jesus and what we experience due to our sinful nature. It's a tension you and I live in. And that's why we can find hope in Romans 8 and 1. You see, because in our boxing match against sin, I love that illustration, Nate. I'm gonna riff on that all day long, okay? I'm going to give you 100% credit. This is Nate's idea, all right? But that kangaroo that was put up on the screen, Nate, I told you to put the kangaroo up there. You remember that? Okay, just saying. Y'all love the kangaroo. I'll take credit for that. See how sin always is with me? There's a perfect illustration of how I want to do what's right, give credit to Nate, but then I want to be prideful and take credit for myself. All right, sermon's over. Y'all can go to your tables now. So, but guys, in our boxing match against sin, we often feel bloody. I don't know if you ever boxed before, but you can stand on your feet and be in a daze, and you can find yourself knocked down on the ground. But God's word speaks a better word to us. In that boxing match, in that daze, in that blood and sweat, in that huffing and puffing, in the times when you're knocked out, he speaks a better word. It's early in the morning, guys. That's why I'm lifting my voice. I'm waking you up. This is the word he speaks to you. There is therefore now. Don't you love how he put now in there? Not later. Not hopefully will be. Hopefully I'll get to the pearly gates, and when I get there, St. Peter will let me in. No, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Men, the day that you said yes to Jesus, he said yes to you. And you're in like Flynn. And nobody's taking you out. Not even yourself. God does the work. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. But we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle. Let me tell you what I think is a very helpful framework for Romans 7, 18 through 24. It's a Reformation phrase that was coined by Martin Luther, one of my favorite theologians. What I love about Luther is, you know what? He was such a righteous dude when he was a Catholic. Do you realize he was a head of 7 monasteries? This guy was, I mean, in terms of external righteousness, this guy had it together. He had spiritual, he fasted so much that it messed up his insides. He was so disciplined with the Lord. That's why he only could find his full faith and hope and trust in Christ. This is what he said about his life. And this is what Paul, I believe, is teaching here in this passage. He came up with a Latin phrase that the other reformers adopted called simul Justus et peccator. Simul Justus et peccator. You know what that means? At the same time righteous and a sinner. In other words, men, you and I, since we've been justified by faith, we've been made right with God. We have peace with God. We're righteous before him in his sight. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a bold statement. Saying that you're as righteous as God? Well, I can't do that in myself. But God, because he's chosen to do so in his Son, our Lord and Jesus Christ, he can give it to us. And we can accept it and say, thank you, Lord. Are you walking in that truth today? Are you resting in that reality? Even if you struggle, men, listen to me. Even if you struggle, and you should struggle, you're still there. It's not based on you. It's not based on me. On your best day, you're going to have to repent for your pride for having your best day. Amen? Friends, and despite this gift, we will battle our sin nature, what Paul calls the flesh, until we're with Christ in glory. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't trust people. I don't trust people who think they've arrived. I don't. When I meet people and they talk about how great they are as Christians, it brings up the alarm bell immediately. And by the way, when I was young, I used to think I was kind of like one of those guys, just to let you know. I prayed more than anybody else. I memorized more scripture than anybody else. I fasted more than anybody else. I fasted longer than anybody else. I water fasted. I mean, if you fasted, you only could drink water. If you told me you drank juice, it didn't count. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at myself, guys. That's so silly. Let me tell you something about some people that I respect. One is Billy Graham. Billy Graham, great gospel preacher. The guy understood his weakness. He always traveled with a travel companion. He had the television removed from his hotel room. I mean, this guy was, he lived a high and holy life. I'll never forget one time him being interviewed on Larry King Live. Y'all remember Larry King? And Larry said, Billy, you must have arrived. You must be a really holy man. And Billy looked at him and he said, Larry, the older I get, the more sinful I realize I am. The Apostle Paul had the same experience. Right before he was going to go and face execution, he goes to Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he said, this is a trustworthy saying, and it deserves full acceptance, that Christ came to save sinners. Here's what he says, of whom I am the foremost. Not I was the foremost, but I am. Wow. Listen, I don't want to make us feel really bad right now, like, oh, we're just dirty, rotten, horrible sinners, because one beautiful thing that Paul does in here is Paul never loses sight of his righteousness in Christ. In fact, when referring to sin, in verse 19, that he says that he keeps on doing, he says it's no longer him who's doing it, doesn't he? Isn't that weird? It's no longer I who's doing it, but the sin in me. Is he just trying to shirk personal responsibility right there? No, he's not shirking personal responsibility, but he's identifying with who he is, simultaneously righteous, but yet at the same time, a sinner. He understands that in his inner being, he is as righteous as he's ever going to be, but in his flesh, in his sinful nature, he's going to struggle. Paul's describing a law that's working in him and a law that works in you and me as well. When I want to do right, verse 21, what does he say? Evil lies close at hand. You feel that? You ever feel that? You might be feeling that right now, like, hurry up and finish this lesson. That's evil. That's lying close at hand. So that's laughter of recognition. I've been there before many times in church. Please, Pastor, land the plane. Not at this church, at other churches, okay? My job's dependent upon that. Anyway, I'm just kidding around, guys. Let's have a little fun this morning. But see, Paul, this is the symbol. This is the tension. In his inner being, what does he do? He delights in God's law. In his flesh, he experiences ongoing conflict. This is the battle, guys. The battle that he often loses, the battle that we often lose, but it does not define us. Christ defines us, but yet we don't ignore the battle that we have against sin. I love Colossians 3, 1 through 6. It's a beautiful verse of scripture. Since I have been raised with Christ. What? This is what he says. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So then, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Do you understand what Paul's doing there? He so identifies. He says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. You're already there from God's perspective. He says, therefore, so you know, he identifies with that, with who he's in Christ, that he's set in heavenly places, with Christ who's seated at the right hand of God. That's incredible. Can you use your theological imagination this morning and recognize that you are literally, according to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, that you're seated in heavenly places already? You don't need to worry about the future. And despite your struggle with sin, Christ still loves you. But then because you're seated in heavenly places, because you're already in glory, because you're already walking in the new heaven, the new earth from God's perspective, Paul then says, therefore put to death what belongs to the earthly nature. Be who you are. But you're going to fail. And I'm going to fail. This is Paul's reality. This is our reality. Can I just tell you guys something? There have been seasons in my work life, my ministry, where things have gone so well. Where the room's been filled when I had an event. Where the church was growing and walls were being knocked out. And buildings were being built. And offerings were coming in. And second services had to be added. And in that moment, I felt this incredible humility. Like, how is this happening? You just could feel and smell and sense the fingerprints of God all over it. And it's an incredible sense of gratitude rose up in my heart. And I was just humbled by the whole experience. And those are godly things, right? But I would be lying to you today if I didn't say to myself in those moments, right in those very moments when I felt incredible humility and incredible gratitude, that pride didn't just start creeping up in my heart. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look how special I am. I know you guys never struggle with that. I get it. You've arrived, right? I'm working towards it, guys. Who will save me from that? Wretched body of sin. Not this body, not my body. This body's good. He's referring to the sinful nature. Who's gonna deliver me from this body of flesh that I live in? Whew. Aren't you looking forward to that? You know, before we met Christ, all we could do was sin. Our only ability, posipikari, was to sin. After we meet Christ, we have the capacity to choose righteousness or sin. But the reality of that is we often fall. That's just part of our sin nature. But there's going to come a day, guys, listen to me. There's going to come a day when you won't be able to sin. You won't be able to do it. Yeah. Because Christ is going to save us from this body of flesh. And we can be so thankful to that future reality and hope that you and I have. Until then, guys, we're going to have the tension, but it doesn't mean we give up, because Paul told us in Romans 6, what? Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you obey its evil desire. Don't offer the parts of your body, the members of your body, as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. But the fact that we can offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness, the fact that we can offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice does not remove the reality of the struggle. And that's okay. It's okay if you get bloody. It's okay if you lose your breath. It's okay if you find yourself in a daze. It's okay if you're knocked out, because God speaks a better word. Sometimes we think that the war that's going on in our lives is abnormal. We think, oh, what's wrong with me? Am I really growing? Am I even a Christian? Friends, if we keep on evaluating ourselves according to God's law, Satan will use it to condemn us every time. Rather than sitting under the condemnation that the accuser says to us, let us hear the better word. You see, because this is what's happening to Paul. He feels the sting. He experiences the struggle. He becomes desperate. And what does he say? Who's going to save me from this body of sin? Wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? The good news is he doesn't say, I know what I need to do. I need to try harder. I need to work more. I need to do better. That's not what the word tells us, does it? It tells us something beautiful. It gives us the true, living, prophetic word of God to us and to our situation we find ourselves. There now is therefore no condemnation for you, for me. Why? Because we're in Christ. We're in Him, fully righteous, fully delivered, fully healed. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law and sin and death. Our hope is not in improving enough. Our hope is in Christ. The gospel is not you and I are becoming less condemnable. The gospel is we are not condemned. The verdict's not based on our performance, but on Jesus' finished work. The Spirit frees us from this condemnation. The Spirit does the work of transformation. May God Himself, the God of peace, notice who's doing the work, sanctify you through and through. May your whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's doing it? He who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.